All right, good evening, folks. I'm Wayne Arnold. We're going to go ahead and start the neighborhood information meeting. This is for the property that's located at Pine Ridge Road. It's the Pine Ridge Commons Shopping Center, also known as Magnolia Square. And it's also a comprehensive plan amendment that covers the same 31-acre parent parcel. We were in this process a little over a year ago, and we're having to repeat the process because it's taken us a little bit more than a year to do the comprehensive plan amendment and the rezoning. And so that's why we're back again. If you received the notice and attended about a year ago, then this is round two. Nothing's much has changed since then, but if you're new to it, I'm going to go through and tell you a little bit about what we're proposing to do, and we'll be happy to answer any questions. The property, I'm sure most of you realize that it's been partially developed with office buildings, shopping center, retail. It's part of a commercial sub-district in the county's comprehensive plan. It allows only commercial. We're proposing to amend that to allow 375 multifamily rental apartments on the property. And the language in the plan is also going to restrict us to a maximum of 4 stories over parking for those buildings. So that's really the biggest change, is adding the residential component for the commercial sub-district in the comprehensive plan. And then the plan unit development zoning that's in place right now allows 275,000 square feet of retail and office development. Obviously, the property goes north of Panther Lane where the signalized intersection is. None of that's changing. What we're proposing to change on the right over here, this is the existing master plan. It depicts commercial and parking areas throughout the property. This is Panther Lane, Goodliffe Frank Road, and Pine Ridge Road. Our proposed amendment will add some designations that allow for there to be residential on these three parcels. So this is where the retail strip center sits today. This is behind the Raymond James building, and then this commercial out parcel that's undeveloped today on Goodliffe Frank Road. And we're proposing to allow the residential component to be built.
The two parcels.
Oh, I'm sorry, there's two parcels. I'm sorry, it's this one and this one, right?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Correct that.
It's where the existing shopping center is and the vacant out parcel. Those are the two parcels where we're proposing to allow the residential dwelling units. So the PUD has been amended to reflect the insertion of residential development standards. After the first neighborhood information meeting, we heard there was concern from some of our neighbors to the south about sight lines. So we've added a condition in the PUD document that restricts no residential building within the south 350 feet of our project. So the residential buildings would have to start essentially behind the out parcels that are existing on Pine Ridge Road. So that's the closest that those buildings would be to the south property boundary. And again, we have prepared traffic analyses. We've done a market analysis that says there's still a demand for residential rental community in the area. And we've been working with staff. We had the plan amendment transmitted to the state of Florida. It came back with no comments. And now the zoning is catching up with the comp plan process. We have our first planning commission hearing for both the PUD and the adoption of the plan amendment on June 21st. And somebody help me with our July date for the board. July 11th? Thank you, Sue. And that's when the board would take potentially final action on both the PUD amendment and the comprehensive plan amendment. In a nutshell, that's kind of what we're proposing. I mean, I can try to share.
Did you mention, and I may have missed it, that we're adding the commercial, but we have to reduce residential in an
equal amount? Oh, I'm sorry. We have, one of the things we did do, too, and after our first neighborhood information meeting, we decided to add a conversion factor. So for every residential unit that gets constructed in the project, we have to give up 200 square feet of retail commercial uses. So the 275,000 square feet that are approved today would be reduced correspondingly if we build the residential component. At present, it's an option. We didn't say we're giving up X number of square feet, but likely to build it, we have to tear down some of the existing shopping center, et cetera. So we're going to give up square footage of the retail commercial in order to get the residential. And that's a 200 square foot per unit conversion factor.
And I apologize, it's July 10th.
July 10th is the corrected BCC date.
Sorry.
Make sure they stay down there, please.
When, just a minute, we'll go ahead and open up to questions, but the court reporter, we have these transcribed, so if you could state your name so the court reporter can indicate who's talking. The Planning Commission members have not really liked it when it just says unnamed person, because they don't really know if it's somebody from the developer's team or not. Let me introduce folks who are here to answer questions if we have them. David Gensens with Baron Collier Companies. Rich Ivanovich is our land use counsel working on it. This is Sharon Umpenauer from my office who's recording the meeting. And I think in a nutshell, those were kind of our changes.
What's that?
Parker Arnold, who's with Baron Collier Companies interning, and this is his first neighborhood information meeting.
Sue.
Oh, and this is from staff. We have Sue Faulkner. She's with our conference planning staff. And Tim Finn is sitting here from the zoning department, the principal planner there. So they're the project managers from the county side. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to questions. If you have any, make sure you state your name and speak loudly so we can record it.
Yes, sir. So you can tell me what's the average retail space that you'd be giving up for a unit?
I'm not sure I understand the answer.
Well, you said you were going to exchange commercial area for residential area.
Yes, the conversion factor is 200 square feet of retail
right.
for each unit.
Okay, now you get, what's your average profit going to be?
Well, we're asking for a minimum square foot size of 700 square feet, and there'll be a variety of sizes of 700 feet.
All right, so if you take the typical commercial space that you're going to be exchanging, what's the typical commercial space that you have over here?
David, do you?
I don't really know. It varies.
It varies.
Yeah. I mean, minimum's probably
going to vary, but
1,300 square feet is probably the minimum. Or a single bay tenant.
How much is that?
He was saying it's about 1,300 square feet is about the smallest tenant space that's in the shopping plaza right now. But if you do the math backwards, so 375 units times 200 square feet,
yes,
about 75,000
square feet. Maybe three or four apartments. Well, in the 3 or 4 apartments, you're likely to have 12 to 15 people.
That varies. They're going to have.
How do you plan to bring the cars in and out of the vehicles from the people of residences in and out?
Well, right now we have access directly to Pine Ridge Road and Goodle Frame Road.
Really? Coming out of the Pine Ridge Road, I think you get into the right-hand turn lane there.
But it is an exit to the shopping center.
It's an exit, but...
I mean, it's existing today.
If you come down Pine Ridge Road and you want to make a right on Goodle Frame during rush hour, you're in traffic. If you happen to be coming out of your new residences, coming into that, where are you going to go?
I don't know. We're using the existing access points. There are no new access points for folks.
Existing, but you don't have anybody in there now.
Well, we have the ability to build 275,000 square feet of
right. And you're going to add them onto the existing road, which is already already overburdened.
Wayne, what was your name, sir?
Say that your name? Al Jones.
Thank you.
And we'll also be coming out of Pine Ridge Estates onto Goodland, and it's already a hassle getting out there in the morning because now if you're going to go north, you got to come down and make the U-turn. Now you're going to add traffic onto that coming out of there?
Well, up here we have access to the Andrew Lane, which is signalized.
That's not going to bother the kids going in and out of the school? I mean, you got a pretty bad situation, but traffic-wise, at least there's a number of other things, but just the traffic is a problem.
So, Caroline Martino from Pine Ridge, and I'd like to add to what Al had said. Coming out from the south of your plan there onto Pine Ridge Road, as you said, you're coming off a turn lane, and it's not unusual to try and get across and onto the traffic light so you can turn south on Goodland. And I cannot even imagine what that's going to look like, let alone people just trying, because it's very short. If you've driven it, and I encourage you to drive it, then you'll understand what. I drive it because I'll come out and pick up Starbucks and then try and turn south on Willett, and it is not easy, and that's one car. That's not a series of cars. Panther Lane, as we all know, we should know, is actually a school lane. It's school access. It's not meant for a residential development to push out traffic at a traffic light, which is the only sensible other option if you want to go south on Goodlet. You have to turn out and onto down south on Goodlet that way. Coming out, the only easy access you've got is turning north on Goodlet on that your southerly Goodlet. And again, I encourage everyone in this room to actually drive these options and see how you like it during a regular rush hour period. Then you've got the, what we're concerned about, Pine Ridge coming out of the south end of Pine Ridge, and you're trying to get onto Goodland and go north. We're already dealing with an intersection, the divide pipe already was taken away, made into a U-turn, but we are constantly dealing with traffic coming north on Goodland, and at the same time, usually, either the village school, including the high school, now, because they're doing really well, so we've got more kids in, or church on Sunday, we've got constant traffic issues just trying to make a U-turn to go a simple north turn on to go to Frank, to go to the airport, or something like that, or to go anywhere. So imagine what it's going to be like adding in these extra cars, 375 units, you said?
Correct, 375 units.
And then the conversion is an option to change more space, correct? Is that right?
No.
To add more units.
To add one single unit, I have to give up 200 square feet of retail space.
No, I understand that, but the plan is, you personally, but the plan is to build these 375 units on the green space available, just south of Panther Lane, busing directly onto the lift, and then taking away some commercial space. Is that correct?
That's correct.
South of Panther Lane. But if you then took away additional commercial space, you could add another four units, is that right? For example, if you have an average of 1,300 square foot for commercial space, you could add another four units, is that right? Is that
the math? No, it really doesn't work that way. They're going to build, if they build the residential component, the residential builder and Baron Collier Companies will joint venture to build an apartment complex. That apartment complex, in order to fit it there, you're going to have to displace a good part of the existing strip shopping center that's there. So a good portion of the shopping center, and in fact, to build all of what they want, they have to give up 75,000 square feet of commercial space in order to build 375 units with the conversions activated.
Excuse me,
one at a time, please, and you need to state your name for the record.
Is that existing commercial space, or is that commercial space that is zoned and not yet built on, as in that green space?
It includes both.
Okay, so it's actually not taking away only the buildings that are there. It includes giving up space that has not been built on, which was zoned.
That's correct.
Correct?
Okay. Yep.
So my next question,
okay.
Follow on, same thing, go ahead.
Okay, no, I was just going to say we have several people who have had
No, I know, I just need to finish this thought. So you build your 375 units, and I have an issue with heights as well, which I'll come back to after everybody else has a chance to ask a question. You build your 375 units, but you have the conversion option, so then you decide, no, we would like to put in units on the rest of it. I'll just take out the rest of my commercial space, and I'll put up extra housing units. What's to stop doing that if the conversion is allowed? There's nothing to stop later on.
The maximum allowable units under the PUD amendment that we're asking for right now is 375 units. If we wanted to do more at some point in the future, we'd have to go through the same process that we're going through right now.
But you've got this conversion option.
It doesn't make a difference. There's a cap. And so we can't do anything above that cap of 375 unless we amend our PUD again. So there's no...
Forgive me for sounding stupid, but why even put the conversion option in there? If 375 means 375, why are we mentioning, and then we could convert some extra if we want to?
Well, this is Wayne Arnold for the record again. The reason is because we don't want to imply that we're building 275,000 square feet of retail commercial and 375 units.
This is Richard Ivanovich for the record. The county requires in PUDs that you include a trip cap for peak hour trips when you get a planned unit development ordinance approved. So in our PUD will be a trip cap based upon the already approved 275,000 square feet of commercial. So that will be our maximum peak hour trips we're allowed to have. The conversion factor that we're doing, the 200 square feet per unit, equates 200 square feet of commercial for each residential unit equates to the same peak hour trips. So the way this project will work is it will be transportation neutral from what's already approved today during the peak hour analysis, as if we had built the full or actually maximized out what's already approved in the PUD. So it's the 375 minus 200 square feet per unit is a transportation neutral peak hour trip calculation.
Why are you asking about?
But you asked why we're not simply adding the 375. Is we're not adding the 375 without the conversion.
No, you must have misheard my question. My question was, why say 375? And by the way, we can also have conversion if we need it.
We say, in order to build the 375, we must deduct 200 square feet for each apartment from the 275. So if you do the math.
No. Okay, again. Not understanding my question.
I think I am. I understand.
You want to build 375, not you again personally, but want to build 375 units
Correct.
By building on the green space that was already zoned for commercial and taking away some of the businesses
Correct.
And building there. My question is, there will still be businesses there.
Correct.
There will be businesses that have been left there.
Correct.
And I don't want to belabor this point. It's really pretty simple. I think I'm good at So you still have businesses there.
Yes.
What's to stop with this? And by the way, we can convert. What's to stop at a later date you invoking the conversion rule to say we want to knock down the rest of the buildings, the businesses, and it's more commercially, or it's more attractive to us to put in apartments?
I can't go above 375 apartment units regardless of the conversion. I can't
well,
go above 375.
The conversion thing in there.
I do
you
need.
You can't go above that.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe I'm communicating.
Maybe we can.
Well, we can move on, but
right.
You understand my point, right?
What, no.
No, I don't understand your point.
Why have it if you don't intend at some future date to use it?
We assure the community we remain transportation neutral
right.
is why we have the conversion formula. That's why it's in
there. I don't understand what. The conversion formula is new to last minute.
Right,
and I don't understand why it's in there. It sounds like some pretty fanciful words.
It's not. I can assure you it's not. Yes, sir, you've had it end up a long time.
Thank you. My name is James Payer, and I live on Caribbean Road. And I'm curious to know, the apartments that you're looking to, are they going to be separate units? They're not necessarily what you've done it or what's been done at Mercado, where there's residential above the commercial. Do you have a design plan for that?
David, you want to answer that?
I mean, again,
David.
This is Dave Jensen, Baron Meyer. We have several ideas that we've been looking at. It hasn't been necessarily a mixed use development like Mercado is. Mixed use always brings in some issues with respect to that kind of development. We've mostly looked at this right now as just a standalone apartment unit complex.
It's possible you could go to that conversion.
Yeah, we could.
Now, question you said 75,000 feet. How many acres is 70,000 feet?
No, the conversion factor, if you take all, this is Wayne Arnold, by the way, the 375 units at the maximum conversion of 200 square feet per commercial space gets us to 75,000 square feet of commercial that has to be reduced out of the what could be built in the PUD.
And how many acres would that be?
Less than 2 acres.
Just under 2 acres of the 35 proposed?
Just under 2 acres. Not necessarily. That's not the way you deal with commercial. That's okay. The volume of square feet that would be in the commercial space.
My concern is the traffic patterns that are here. And we're locked in on two sections in Pine Ridge Estates. We've got Goodlett Frank that's out front here, and we've got Pine Ridge that's to the west.
And 41,
excuse me, that's my map. But those are both extremely heavily trafficked roads, and particularly during the season. It's not like we have peak hours during the season. It's peak hours till 9 o'clock at night. But the point is that those roads are not necessarily being maintained by the county to maintain roads. I mean, I very much look at it, and a lot of my friends consider it the Goodlett Speedway. And you got the drag strip on 41. It's like 0 to 45 to 55, and rarely does anybody travel less than 60 on Goodlett. If you're coming out of Autumn Woods, where I lived just recently, to make a left-hand turn, you're taking your life in your hands there. It's impossible. And, people are speeding, and the amount of traffic, if there's 375 units, I'm going to guess that there's two cars in each household. And however you massage the PUD, I understand that. And the traffic. The traffic pattern really needs to take into what's here now. And my opinion is that the county hasn't been able to demonstrate that they can manage the infrastructure that we have today, and particularly at this heavy congestion area. And Irma was a perfect example of that. But there you go. And my other concern is if you have all the options, you could have another Mercado where we have businesses that are open till 2 in the morning, people driving in and out. It's a heavily trafficked area. Mercado's not the smoothest parking spaces in the world either. So, but beyond that, I'll let everybody else speak. Thank you.
Ed? Oh, I'm sorry. You have your hand? I'm sorry.
Yes, Shelley Zimmerman, Autumn Woods. How long ago was this traffic study done?
I don't remember the date of the last update, but fairly recently, in the last several months, it was updated.
Okay, because I know they've had a bunch of traffic studies here in Collier. They're saying Pine Ridge can't handle the amount of traffic that's already there. They're talking about putting raised things like they have down at Golden Gate to divert traffic and stuff already. So Pine Ridge is affected, Immokalee is affected. Collier County is actually talking about putting in these high road lights. And also, was a school study done? So whether or not our schools can handle the amount of students coming in from an apartment complex.
So this is Wayne, by the way, for the record. And yes, full traffic analysis was prepared and accepted by county staff to their methodology. And the school district is a part of every review that includes residential development in Collier County. And they've not issued any issue with the student population that would be generated from these apartments.
I kind of disagree because we are now at capacity. Our school systems are at high capacity. Where we used to have low amounts of students, now they are at the max. There's 20, 30 students in a classroom.
I can't speak for the school district, but they've reviewed our application. Ed, in the back there.
My name is Edward Camp. I live up in Monterey. I want to get it simple. I hear a lot of terms of art and jargon. But what I understand is that right now, today, you can build up to 275,000 square feet of commercial and office and what have you, non-residential. And that's going to generate X number of cars peak hour. I realize that in season we have multiple peak hours. Point is that it's based on in-season traffic. And then I further understand from what I've heard that if you want to put 375 apartment units in there, it's going to cost you 75,000 square feet, which is going to take and reduce your commercial and office down to 200,000 square feet total. So that, I believe Mr. Jovanovich said, that's going to be a traffic neutral. Now, I realize that the words traffic neutral sound like an oxymoron, but in fact, in doing the analyses, it seems to me that what you've tried to do is to keep a zero impact based on what you already have approved. Not improved, approved. So it would seem to me that the discussions of whether this is going to generate more or less traffic are really moot because there is no discussion. If there's an issue with access on the Goodlett Road, if there's an issue with access on the Pine Ridge Road, then there's really a different forum that has to be addressed in at the county level because that's a master planning issue. This was already approved. The access points, you're not proposing any new access points. You're not proposing really any change in traffic pattern that I've been able to see. And so I just, I understand the concern. I mean, the concern's right there today. But if this project were built out as it is today, there is a potential for more traffic than what would occur if you made that conversion. because I believe that traffic engineers will tell you that residential generates much less than commercial, and then you don't have a lot of control over what that, at least the county doesn't have a lot of control over that, unless you have some cap on the number of square feet, the number of seats in restaurants, number of square feet of doctor's offices. These are high traffic generators. We see traffic, we see strip centers all the time, and there are those little stores one after the other. And then all of a sudden, there's one restaurant beside the other, you go up there, no parking. So I don't think you want to do that. I mean, based on what I've seen of what the Collier companies have been doing. But it seems to me that we're spending an awful lot of time being concerned about traffic, when in fact, if this meeting wasn't being held and this project wasn't being proposed, you still have the approval tomorrow to build 275,000 square feet of commercial.
That's correct.
Okay. Just to make sure I understand this.
Yes.
Chris Fons Hall, Pine Ridge resident, whose property backs right up to Goodlet across the street from this. Can you please tell the Baron Collier person or one of the others first, what is the occupancy rate? I was a prudential partner selling a real estate commercial for 7 years. What is the current occupancy rate of this space you're talking about giving up? Can you please tell the audience what that occupancy rate is right now?
I don't know what the occupancy rate is. It's not very big.
We can walk over there right now and see all the empty space.
Sure.
There's how many square feet are empty now? About 45,000?
Sure.
48,000?
Sure.
So don't, just let the crowd know that the space you're talking about giving up, they cannot rent. So they're not giving up much. That's number one. Number two, are you proposing this to the county as being rent-subsidized space?
No, sir.
Okay.
Market-rate rental apartments.
Market-rate rental apartments. Number three, did the county, who's sitting right here, take into effect in that traffic plan that they're proposing a four-story parking garage at Clam Pass Park, which is going to pull a tremendous amount of traffic, not done in this traffic plan, down Pine Ridge Road to Clam Pass Park, which is not in there. Is that part of the traffic plan?
It is not.
It is not. Thank you. So,
because that's not a proposed plan for the county.
No, it's so the county is spending $200,000 approved to study building the same garage at Vanderbilt, which you can't even drive down there, or the beach is used, to build the same parking down the Clam Pass. Down the Clam Pass.
Well, all I can say to that is we're not going to wait for the county's studies on parking garages that may or may not occur in the future. We're ready to go with a residential project now.
There's 43,000 square feet, roughly an acre. So how many units are going on each acre? How many units
are going on each acre? Calculation. It's 375 divided by 31. That's our guess.
No, that's not the question I asked. I'm a realtor. I've lived a long time.
That's
what, is the set, what is the set aside acreage, the buffer acre, and what is the density per acre?
I don't have an answer for you tonight.
You don't have the density per acre on a project
you
like this?
Calculates the density.
I would, if you live in an acre or 2 acres like I do in Pine Ridge, wait till you hear the actual density per acre of this project. It is nothing I've ever heard of. I lived in New York most of my life. But the density is going to be unbelievable. And what you're not telling about is the amount of additional traffic that will come into the development, people visiting the people who live in the development. Now, don't forget, these are rental units. These are not permanent residents. So the transiency factor of this unit, this whole project, will be quite high, affecting us who live here permanently in this area.
I'm going to say something. Rich Ivanovich, for the record. For one, I live in Pine Ridge. I've lived in Pine Ridge for almost 20 years. I understand the traffic patterns about what's happened. Two, everything you just said about traffic analyses is incorrect. These traffic analyses are done based upon professional documents. Actually, you're wrong. They're done at the peak season. Yeah. So you don't know what you're talking about. So I'm going to correct the record because what you said was incorrect. We do an analysis based upon the peak season analysis, based upon professional gathered data through the ITE, which is the Institute of Traffic Engineers, which factors in people who live in the residences as well as people who come and visit the residences.
So there is a professional analysis done by multiple professionals. Our professional then is peer reviewed by the county's professionals. So the transportation analysis that we did to show what we're proposing is transportation equal, as Mr. Kent has just said, if we were to fully lease up the property, which we can do, and which they have deliberately decided not to do because they're looking at the option of doing an apartment complex.
So
when you're saying,
You're a resident Pinebridge?
I absolutely am a resident Pinebridge.
So you don't think this is out of the character?
I do not. If I did, I wouldn't be on the property.
375 rental units.
I don't think it's out of character because I have to answer to a higher being, and it's my wife. And when we're doing this project, I looked at it. It doesn't affect the neighborhood. I drive that intersection every morning at the peak hour. So I get to see each way. Coming home, I come up 41 because I'm working in Northern Trust Springfield. So I understand the traffic patterns. And your statements about the density on this project, I don't know what part of New York you're from, but I guarantee you this is not New York density. So this project is in keeping with Carter County. Baron Carter Companies has been around for a long time. They've done multiple market rate apartment complexes. This is going to be a nice apartment complex. It's not going to be Mercado. And it's a project that will fit in nicely with the Pine Ridge community. It will not negatively impact the traffic over what's already there.
Can you put that on the record? That you did not intend this to be a Mercado with residential units above your commercial space?
Yes. I'll put that on the record.
You obviously do know about the traffic study, and there was mention earlier of not knowing exactly when it was done, but clearly you do know when it was done. So just for the record, could we state that for everybody's information? That would be great. Thank you.
Two things you need to know about traffic study.
Just
listen to me a minute, please. The day you do the traffic study, they what you do is you use the traffic counts that are peak season counts. So if I do a traffic study today, I still use peak season numbers. So the date on the study doesn't indicate the traffic volumes we use. We use traffic volumes on the roads during the peak hour. So I'm going to tell you a date that the study was actually prepared, but you need to understand it used county peak hour trips.
So how are those calculated?
The county does trips routinely every year where they're out there counting the traffic that's on the road, and the ITE manual tells you peak hour trips.
So it says that it's December 21st multiplied by...
It tells you exactly how to do that.
Is this all this information that you've been sent posted on the internet?
Yes.
This is Wayne. All the information is available on CollierCounty.gov website.
Okay.
It's also available on our website. I believe. Does Sharon, if you go to our planning tab?
Yes, we have a link to the county website.
There's a link to the county's website on our GradyMinor.com website under planning.
You know that within the past 2 years, they took a lane.
Please say your name for the record.
Al Jones. In the last 2 years, they took a lane from the westbound side on Pine Ridge Road at the intersection of 41. They took one of those lanes from the eastbound side, took it away, and added it to the westbound side. There's nothing more you can do to that intersection unless you want to get the drugstore to level and widen the turn or something. That's at its maximum capacity right now. You bring more traffic down here, and you'll never get through that intersection. Right now, the rush hour is backed up.
If I might, this is Wayne again. As Mr. Kant and others have stated, if we did nothing today, Baron Collier could lease up all of the existing space and continue to build more commercial square footage. They're approved and vested for that amount of square footage. They're willing to give up the commercial to trade it for the residential, and it's traffic neutral. It generates no more trips.
What we're saying is there's enough traffic on these two roads now with little or no use of that land. And you want to add 275 units in there, 375 units in there, you're going to add that to what's already an unbearable problem.
For the record, Mr. Collier, the date of the traffic study is December 5th, 2017.
Thank you very much. Would you
Chris Lonsdale, speaking for the record. Your statement was hyper-speculation. I was on LoopNet, people, go look at a commercial site. There is such a glut of space, not light industrial space, a glut of commercial space because our company is looking for some large space. And that space is not, I repeat, not leasable. It's not leasable. It's been there for quite a while. If you go on LoopNet tonight and look up lease space in Naples, you'll see about 1.3 or whatever the number is, 1.2 million square feet of available Class B and A space and retail space available for lease.
Who hasn't had a chance to ask a question? Yes, ma'am. Can you make sure you speak up a little so everybody can hear you?
Going to the, you know, there is a glut of, that's exactly why they want to do apartments, because they have retail and nobody wants it, right? So my concern is a couple things. The traffic, did the study propose any improvements? Or did, I know it's neutral, but was there any improvements proposed with the traffic study? Like any turn lane, anything?
I don't believe so. Okay. The analysis was done with the existing improvements and
the school capacity. I know you said that the, you know, the school's district can handle the additional students from 375. Do we know if it will impact any of the districts, the actual district lines? I mean, I've seen plenty of times where it's over the edge and the line changes. Do we know, does the county know, staff know, if that will change any of the school lines?
Are you saying causing, meaning like causing redistricting because of this?
For the school
district. I'm not aware of
that. Is that something that's usually in the school report?
No, it's not. But the school, the record, Rich and Arnold, sorry about that, but the tape you have to do it. The school district, you know, periodically studies where they do that. So I don't think as part of their analysis when a new project comes in, do they look at how it could impact the redistricting?
But they look at per school. They don't just look at, okay, the overall district can accommodate X amount of children. There's space. Do
they look at the schools within their vicinity, and then I think it's like an adjacent school. For lack of a better example, just think about Seagate Elementary and what's the nearest elementary school to Seagate would become too crowded. Same thing for Pine Ridge Middle. And,
but Seagate already has 25 children in one class.
The school district decides what's the appropriate school size. We don't decide that. The school district decides that. And I think, frankly,
excuse me. One at a time, please.
So can we just ask staff if you can check with the school district to see if they have any of that kind of information by school to make sure that how many students are expecting additional to go to Seagate, Pine Ridge, and Barron Collier. The other thing is, my overall kind of concern is, you know, you have the comp plan amendment, you have the rezoning. That's just a basic pod plan. The design of the project. I know you probably don't have all the fine, you've done this a million times. You have a lot of apartment complexes. The height, you said four stories over parking?
That's our maximum height.
Okay, so how many stories of parking?
Since one.
So five-story building.
Four stories over one level of parking.
Okay. There's also a maximum height that goes along with that, and that's zone height. It's 55 feet, so that includes the parking.
Okay. What was the maximum height when it was just a straight commercial PUD?
It's got two different heights, actually, for the, it's got retail and office building heights.
If you have it. Retail height was 40 feet, office height is 50 feet.
Okay, and the residential maximum would be what?
55.
Okay. The buffers and the open space, given the conversion from commercial to residential, what kind of, if you do the pod that's adjacent to Goodlet, what kind of buffer will we be seeing? How deep and, or are there apartment buildings right up against the street?
Well, there can't be. There's a 4-tower line easement that runs parallel to the
road. But you can't plant in those. So that's,
we can plant low level vegetation in, and you just can't plant trees that are exceeding 14 feet in height.
Okay.
But there's still a buffer requirement, no matter
what. How deep is that buffer?
It's a 20-foot landscape buffer requirement that's required along Goodlet Drink Road.
Whether it's residential or commercial?
Correct.
Okay. And the open space, is that compatible with the residential community? What's the open space provided and what's required?
The open space required for commercial development is 30%, and for mixed use is 30%. And they stay the same. And the preservation areas are shown on the plan in a couple places, and those are already recorded easements.
Did the preservation area stay the same?
Yes.
Required?
Yes.
So there should be no extra green space in a residential community?
Well, it's considered a mixed-use plan development, and the standards for mixed-use and commercial are very similar.
But essentially, when you're only putting residential in two of the pods and commercial on the north and the southwest corner, you have essentially a residential community and commercial, or whatever, office commercial. I would like to know if you, I know you can do the calculation, what the net density is on the two pods that you're going to put 375 on.
A lot of that depends because it would depend on how much of the shopping center would get demolished that's there today.
Well, assuming you do the 375 and you keep whatever the balance is of your strip, that, 200, if you take that, delineate the less of that acreage and put 375 units on it, what's the net density?
See if we can come up with a figure. I don't have that number right now, but
I'd be curious
going for his calculator.
I'd be curious to see what that is compared to other residential districts within the area.
Okay. And we won't have a comparison for you, I'm sure, to tell you what those are tonight. But. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Shelley Payer from Pine Ridge. So regarding this traffic study, it was done in December based on current conditions in December and for high season, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you've already said that a lot of the commercial space in the existing development is vacant. And you're going to give up some of that commercial space and you're going to add residential there. So how can it be traffic moot when you're going to add space that will be rented and take away space that isn't rented?
Your thought process. Your thought process is there's clearly going to be more traffic coming from this area than that's being generated today because there's vacant space. We get that. But you can't assume that this shopping center area is never going to be developed. That's an assumption you cannot make. It's already approved for 275,000 square feet. So you have to assume that we are going to eventually lease up the entirety of the shopping center, which is 275,000 square feet. And there's a traffic calculation based upon peak hour trips of a shopping center, and that's going to yield X peak hour trips. So what we're saying is, assume we go out there and we actively market and we eventually lease up the entirety of this project. You're going to get X. We're saying to you, we're going to reduce the office and retail a corresponding amount to the residential we're going to put in, so X stays the same. There's no question there's going to be more traffic than is generated today. It has to be. We have vacant land. Forget about the space that hasn't been rented, but that's not the analysis. The county analysis is as if the 275,000 square feet has actually been built and been leased. And it eventually will, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next year, but eventually that center will be built and leased up. So the choice, it comes down to, traffic's the same. Do you want to have commercial there, or do you want to have an upscale apartment complex there? That's what we're proposing, because we think there's definitely a need for apartments. Now, whoever hasn't gotten a chance, please, you can go first.
In the front row right here.
My name is Meryl Posey. I live in Autumn Woods. You said there was a 30% open space requirement. So in this complex, 30% of the space is going to be open. Is that correct?
It's applied across the entirety of the 31-acre PUD.
Okay.
Who has someone here in my office?
I have a question.
Pat Newman. Pat Newman from Monterey. I think it would be helpful to tell everybody how much space right now is built out commercially so people understand what you were saying.
How many square feet are actually built?
Exactly. Right. It's half of the 275.
What's that?
I think it's half.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to let you.
Okay, I think it's like 120.
We'll answer that question. He's doing that. We'll go on to the
well, I guess several questions. First of all, I'm not sure December 5th is a peak season because a lot of people go up north for Thanksgiving, don't come back later, or leave for Christmas, and really, January, February, March are really more peak season than December. It's not really peak. It's semi-peak, so I would beg to differ with that, number one. Number two, there's a fire station right in that area, and anybody drives around there, especially in season, knows what traffic there is at Pine Ridge and Goodlett Frank, because the fire station is very close to that and right next to this. I can't imagine that that will not impede traffic at times, especially in season, and minutes count in emergencies. Also, I think it defies logic to pretend that there's not going to be a whole lot more traffic there than there is now. Studies notwithstanding, and granted, you say that what we have now is not what's allowed under the existing PUD. But what happens when you get more traffic is people find ways to cut corners through non-gated communities. I live in Pine Ridge Estates, a non-gated community, and we already have some of that going on now, especially on Ridge Drive, which is kind of a mini speedway at times. And that would just increase. A lot of people in Pine Ridge Estates have kids, and there's no sidewalks except for the far northern part of Pine Ridge Estates, and kids are around, and that involves another safety hazard. So you've got a fire station that's very close to the intersection and a high-impact area, and, you know how long it takes. The fire station has priority, but when you've got a whole bunch of traffic, it doesn't make any difference. And I see no negative, I see no positives in this for anybody in this room except for the developer. I mean, I see nothing but negatives for anybody else. And I think I would dare say most people would probably much rather have the full build out 275,000 square feet of commercial space rather than 375 units. You call it upscale. I'm not sure what the 700 square foot rental is upscale. There's nothing there about that that sounds upscale to me. Naples definition, maybe it does to you. But I don't, this is, there's nothing positive this for this community.
A couple of things. I remember I told you the date that they write the report doesn't mean the date they actually did the traffic counts. The date, the traffic count information in the report is peak season, peak hour, trip analysis. The date of the report, which I said earlier on, is immaterial. So when you read the report, you will see they used the peak hour, trip counts that the county has.
And
so
what was the peak date that they used?
I have to go back and look at the report. I'm just telling you, when you go read the report, you'll see, and Sue and Tim will tell you from the county, that's how it's done. So that analysis is done correctly.
And
I understand your theory wasn't a question, it was a statement that you think you would prefer the shopping center when it's fully occupied. And maybe you will, maybe you won't, but there's a lot of shopping centers out there that are 275,000 square feet, generating a whole lot of traffic. And there may be others who don't agree with you that they'd rather have the traffic generated from the shopping center when it's the same traffic numbers.
Excuse me, sir.
Can we please hold our comments? I just said it's a matter of opinion, and you're allowed to have one.
Well, in my backyard, I look at five stories of buildings behind me.
Excuse me. Please, one at a time, and please state your name and wait until you're called upon, please.
What about the increased traffic through Pine Ridge Estates, which is not a gated community, that results from that?
Well, and it can happen today when the shopping center gets increased load. There are people coming through. I don't know how long you've lived in Pine Ridge, but I remember when we were actually expanding Goodlett Frank Road, the amount of people that were trying to avoid the intersection when they were doing all that work, cutting through center and going through the community to avoid that intersection, then finally Goodlett Frank Road got done, and the amount of cut-through traffic reduced. You're going to have cut-through traffic through our community regardless, whether it's a shopping center or whether it's residential. People are going to cut through our community, and hopefully people will pay attention to where the stop signs are, because frankly a lot of people who live in our community don't pay attention to the stop signs on Ridge and just blow right through them. So we're going to have cut through traffic.
And as Carolyn Martino mentioned, people going out of Pine Ridge Estates onto the center, Goodlett Frank at center, and if they want to go northbound, they have to first go southbound, make a U-turn by the church area, which is almost impossible in season as it is, and that'll be just totally impossible. I mean, there'll be more accidents. That's bound to happen. I mean, that doesn't require statistics. That just requires common sense.
The gentleman in the back row hasn't had a chance to ask a question. Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Tony DeRossi. I live in Pine Ridge. You know, I hear a lot about the traffic. I'm not going to go there. What I'm concerned with is I have kids that go to Pine Ridge Middle School. And you have 375 rental units there. With anybody with first, last, and security can get in there. And I'm concerned because my daughter is 12, but her girlfriends walk to Starbucks after school sometimes. And now they're going to be walking through a residential apartment complex that you guys say is upscale. What's upscale? I mean, most of us live in multi-million-dollar homes in Pine Ridge. We moved there. I just built a house there to be in a nice neighborhood, in a nice community, and now we're going to have 375 rentals across the street, right in front of a school, right near two schools. It's just, you know, I'm concerned with safety for my kids.
I don't know if you know what the market rate is in Cuyahoga County for one-bedroom apartments right now.
$1,300 bucks?
I don't think that that's going to be a lower class type of individual that's going to live in a one-bedroom apartment and that's paying $1,300 a month to live there.
Watching your daughter go to school every day.
Yes.
Cindy Pisani.
I'm sure there's probably some weirdos living in our community.
You're probably right.
I live in Northgate Village, and I work for a CPA firm. We've got some of our young staff that are living in $1,300 apartments, and they're not getting paid that much. That's high. That's, you know, that is as cheap as they can find for a one bedroom.
I'm assuming they're professional staff.
Yeah. Exactly. You previously had mentioned that you had some other options for this property, but it kind of getting the feeling that you're all set to go with this.
Well, it's clearly an option of development. David's had people looking at retail space in the last several months, so it's not as if we're ready to and expecting to break ground on this, but it is a realistic expectation because there is strong interest in apartment rental communities right now, and this makes a lot of sense business-wise for them. But retail also may make business sense for them.
Yeah, for the record, Dave Genza. I'll just say that, you know, we only brought this in as an option. And we're continuing to look at commercial opportunities on these properties as well. One of the things that was misstated about our vacant space is that we can't lease it. Well, if we can't, because Sweetbay still leases it. And they pay us their lease. And our lease... their lease with it precludes us from going out and trying to market it for them. So the fact that it's sitting there vacant is not necessarily any cause of us. It's called a sweep bay, but they're still paying us. They've been paying us for 7-8 years as that's been vacant. So I just wanted to correct that. But we've also had other people. We've had a car dealership look at it. We've had an ALF look at it. You know, so there are several options, assisted living, sorry.
Okay.
There are several options that are out there. And we're not, I'm telling you right now today that I can't say with any degree of certainty that it is going to be residential. Because Trader Joe's could come walk in the door tomorrow and say, we want to take the sweet bay space. Great, here you go, let's go. So, you know, the fact was just give us some flexibility with this property, and that's it. We don't have any deals that are inked, if you will. Who hasn't had a chance yet?
All right. Yes, Michelle.
Oh.
Hi, Ray Vincenti with the Northgate Village. David, just a quick follow-up on that. You know off the top of your head how many more years on your lease that you have over there in Sweetbay?
Nine years remaining? Yes.
Why would they do that? Just a question.
The question is, why would Sweet Bay continue?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out why they would lock that up.
Well, one, they don't have a choice. Under their lease agreement, it was for a certain period of time.
There's a significant, you know, if they cancel the lease, there's a significant penalty to do that.
Okay. James Fair, and back to the traffic study, that's my biggest concern is, well, actually, my biggest concern is the quality of life that we have in this area now, and getting more congestion makes you wonder how that's going to happen. But if Let's take Sweet Bay. Was that put into the traffic study that if Sweet Bay were up and operating, what would they generate? If it was a Publix or whatever, what kind of, was that added into the traffic study?
This is Wayne, by the way. The county transportation study analyzes if there was going to be 275,000 square feet of commercial uses and made an assumption for how much would be office and how much would be commercial shopping center.
Right.
The Institute of Traffic Engineers has land use codes for almost every use you can imagine. One is a shopping center, and then there's medical office, general office, etc. And then they take those and look at the square footages. That converts to a number of trips per peak hour, and that's what gets put into the model.
And that's a formula. That's a formula that they work by. But if you live here and you experience these intersections and the traffic that's on the road, that formula is not applicable to the existing space and our quality of life.
Well, I guess I liken that, sir, to, you know, the people who, you know, you don't build the church parking lot for Easter Sunday, because, you know, the IT standards are based on averages around the country. They collect data, and for the longest time, like, a racetrack gas station was the anomaly. The latest round of the IT standards finally have included those large volume gas pump stores as part of their analysis, because before you were using a code that was based on, you know, some of the old mom and pop things. So, I mean, there are, these standards evolve, and they look at them every year or two and upgrade those standards.
So we assume that you're able to satisfy the county's requirements for the traffic patterns with your traffic studies, which makes it probably a done deal. I don't know that the county can say no to any development anymore today when you look around and looking at what the county can do to provide for the infrastructure that we have. I don't understand. I mean, Irma was a perfect example. I mean, they're pumping sewage into the canals for weeks because we didn't have generators at our, you know, at our backup stations. It's just, at what point do we not say, or at what point can the county say no?
Well, the county has level of service standards for many, many things that they consider Class A facilities, and it includes everything from water and sewer and roads, parks and recreation facilities, sheriff, police, fire. So, you know, they look at those every year. It's called.
There's no better group out there than Calumet. I mean, they have been good people in a number of areas throughout here. But it just seems that the edge of the county, where it wraps around the city, where the city has a referendum that was passed that's being ignored now for heights of buildings, which is not anywhere near 55 feet. But it seems like right on the edge of the city here, to take it from Goodlett down south, that whole complex is in there. I think that's a Collier project too, isn't it? Right at the end of Goodlett, where 41 makes the turn, what is that, 10th Street in there?
No, that's not your project.
That's the condo project that's going up right now? That's Ronto who's doing that. Yeah, that's Ronto.
But I guess that's the point of view. Naples was, when Shelley grew up here in 1963, and it was a sleepy little village. We're losing that whole idea of what is Naples. And the city of Naples and the county, which is all of Naples, it's the quality of life. It just keeps growing. Are we going to be satisfied when we're Fort Lauderdale? All the way up, you know, Hollywood up to Palm Beach, where it's just, we don't even have 95 here. 75 is it. And 41 and Goodlett are being used as main intersections that are being traveled at 65 to 75 miles an hour regularly. So, whatever you do, I hope that you can take into consideration the overall impact of what's going on there.
Ma'am.
Okay.
Now,
Shelley Zimmerman, Autumn Woods. About the traffic study again, maybe Sue can hit from the county. Is the proposed traffic study for Livingston and Pine Ridge? Have they passed that, do you know, to put?
I'm not aware of it. I don't work in transportation planning. I work in another field.
Does anybody know?
For
Pine Ridge and Livingston, they were talking over by the vineyards about putting one of the overpass bridges to relieve some of the traffic that's on Pine Ridge. Maybe it was at a meeting 6 months ago. And they had proposed that. They're trying to do that at the Pine Ridge Livingston, also at the Immokalee Livingston, where they're putting, because there's so much traffic coming down Pine Ridge, they're trying to divert it other areas.
If you'd like, I can give you the name of the manager for transportation planning for the county. That would be the department to contact about plans in other areas.
So, I...
That's Trinity, right?
Trinity Scott. Okay. She's the manager of transportation planning.
Do you want her phone number? Yeah. I'll grab my phone, put it right in.
Let me know when you're ready.
This is Rich, by the way. Yeah.
Phone number, please?
It's 239-252-5832. So if you have transportation-related questions, if you want to verify anything we've said about how they do the transportation studies, she's the woman in charge of that department.
Yes, ma'am.
I came tonight expecting to see diagrams of where the buildings would be placed and what the buildings would look like. So are you saying you're not to that point yet, or did you not bring that?
We are not to that point yet, ma'am. David's group, you know, they've been talking to different multifamily apartment rental folks, but I've not seen a plan. I've not seen any architecturals related to the project.
Are you going to have another meeting then at that point? Because this seems a little premature then, even if you're not to that
point.
No. The purpose of zoning entitlement is to set up the guidelines by which all development that occurs within there has to abide by. So you get into things like setbacks, you get into things about height, you get into allowable square footages and stuff like that. Then you go into the site development plan process, whereby the county, Cuyahoga County's land development code then, you know, kind of dictates a lot of different things, architectural, landscape, all this other kind of stuff. So it's not something that we ever get into the detail at the PUD or zoning process. So it's not something that we've done sightline studies to show kind of how it looks from Northgate and with them being set back and stuff like that. But other than that, no, we don't have any detail. Again, we don't have any plans right now as far as moving forward, so how would we have any detail?
But the county has approved this. That's what you're saying.
No, we're going through the process.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I thought it was, and then I was thinking, yeah, wasn't that? Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
And Merrill Losey, are you thinking that you will have different size apartments, like two bedroom and one?
Yes,
bedroom?
It'll be a mix.
Okay.
David Gunson, it'll be a mix of one, two, and three. Primarily, mostly two bedroom units is what you see in a mix.
And the average square footage?
Well, our minimum in the PUD proposal is 700 square feet. It's a pretty common number for apartment complexes in the county as the minimum number. Yes, ma'am. I haven't heard from you yet.
Well, my name is Slava Struvenyuk, and I live in Pine Ridge Estates. Several comments. One is this gentleman's comment that we are going to get traffic coming through, cutting across Pine Ridge Estates. I think that with all the money that will be generated for the builder for this project and for the county, something should be done to prevent that. Signs should be posted or something else, whatever is available to the county. I think we should be meeting with county officials in discussing all our concerns, not just the builders, but also with the county. Signs should be posted in the various exit points. For example, maybe out of this church complex or other complexes, right turns must yield to U-turns. That's the law here. Very few people know, because people come here seasonally and they don't know it, and that's a problem for us.
Stop.
Right. right turns must yield to U-turns. U-turn has the right of way. And so a lot of people don't know that, and that can cause accidents. So I don't know how to approach this, but I think that maybe we should be meeting with county officials with their concerns also. And something, with all the money being generated, I don't think we should accept things like, well, you're going to get traffic through coming through anyway. I don't think we should. Why don't we just stand up and say, no, do something about it. Do something to prevent traffic coming across private residential areas.
That's why you should go to the June and July meetings.
Yes. Where are they going to be? Yeah, can somebody give me information? That's where I'm lost.
You do, Richard, just for the record, you do understand that the streets of Pine Ridge are public streets.
Yes.
They're paid for by the county. They're maintained by the county.
And
there's no way you're going to be able to prevent somebody who lives in another community from driving through and using Center Street if they want to cut around that intersection. Just not going to happen. We just have to put up with that. Now, remember, they've changed some things. You can't use Center all the way across anymore. They've cut off Orange Blossom, so they've taken some pretty significant steps to cut down that cut-through traffic, but we're going to continue to have that. They're public roads. Caroline?
Yay. just a couple of points. First of all, I think we can all agree that traffic pattern for residential is different to a traffic pattern for commercial. Correct? Because people come home late from work, they go off early to work before the shops are open. I mean, is that not possible?
Car is a car.
No, I know a car is a car, but the pattern is going to be different. I think that's part of the thing that's going to be an impact. However, I have two other questions because we certainly covered the traffic one way and another. On the height, at the previous neighborhood information meeting, you had said you were going to ask for a variance on the height so that you could put 5 stories up because you had to take it up to 60 feet or something. Don't look at me askance because I distinctly remember
that's
this.
That's not a variance. We set our own development standards in a PUD. It is not a deviation or a variance.
So what is the height restriction? Because I believe that I understood that it was going to be a special request for the height.
We added in our comprehensive plan amendment language that the buildings can be a maximum of 4 stories over parking.
So what is the county standard? What is the previously agreed height at that location?
Rich already read those.
So that's what I didn't understand. No, I wrote it down. So right now, the previously agreed height at that location is 40 foot for retail and 50 foot for office, correct?
With architectural embellishments going up to 60 feet.
I don't think you mentioned that part or I would have written it down, but anyway.
Okay. That's in the beauty.
So he didn't mention that previously, you mentioned it last time. Okay. So my question is, how do we in Pine Ridge arrange the same sightline survey across Goodlett Frank Road that presumably Northgate arranged for you to do across Pine Ridge Road? Because there are definitely, as Chris who's now had to leave, as Chris mentioned, there are houses down Goodlett Frank Road back onto it. They're 2 stories high. They are going to see these buildings. So is it possible for us to get the same sightline survey? I would imagine the answer is yes. How do we go about doing that?
Well, the answer is, do we want a sightline analysis?
Sure. Because presumably you did it across Pine Ridge Road, but you didn't do it across Goodlett because we didn't ask for it.
Correct. Nobody asked for it, we're happy to do it.
Right, well, so do we have to write something down to say we would like it, or?
One at a time, please. Well, it's being recorded. We have to turn this neighborhood recording into the county within 2 days, and I'm sure that both Sue and Tim are taking notes.
That would be very helpful.
What's the James Payer Pine Ridge? What's the status of the PUD? Are you just beginning this? Is this part of it that you take to the county, or has the county signed off on any of your assumptions and plans?
This is David Gannon. The county hearing that we had previously was agreeing to transmit our growth management plan amendment to the state for their review, which Wayne said has come back with no comments. Now, in a parallel process, we've been running with the, we've been taking the PUD, and it is now going, both the growth management plan amendment and the PUD amendment are being heard at the July meeting, June meeting for the Planning Commission, and then the July 10th meeting at the Board of County Commissioners. So there's nothing that's been approved yet, other than approving it to transmit it to the state, and it's already come back. So the Planning Commission will make a recommendation at its hearing date to Board of County Commissioners, and then the Board of County Commissioners, presumably on June 10th, will take a vote, and we'll need 4 out of 5 votes of the County Commission to pass it and adopt the changes we're proposing.
You had different dates before. Can you reiterate what the 2 days would be? Before someone said June 21st and July 11th, can we get the exact dates and approximate guesstimates?
It is June 21st for the Planning Commission and June 10th, July 10th for the County Commission.
And where will they be held?
They're held at the County Commission chambers for the County Commission meeting, and I believe the Planning Commission meeting is going to be held at the Horseshoe Drive complex at 2800 North Horseshoe Drive.
That's the 21st and 21st.
That's correct. The 21st meeting will be held at the Horseshoe Drive complex.
What time is it?
All those meetings begin at 9 a.m.
The board meeting will be at the main complex on the airport. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
There's other issues besides the traffic, of course, a big one, but you know, last year when we had the hurricane, we had a lot of the facilities that were taxed to their limit. Sewerage went down because they didn't have generators on the pumping stations. The traffic was unbearable. A lot of people lost electricity, and so you had long lines at the gas stations to get gas for generators. I mean, all these different things that were going on. Traffic lights were not operating. And now, you know, and it's not just this particular project, but all these projects, little by little by little, adding in more people to an already overtaxed system. You know, the people don't have, people can't get access to the beach. It's just everything. You know, at what point do you just end it? Where's the sewerage going to go to that's coming out of there? We're at the limits of the water supply. And there's all these different things. You keep adding in all of these different projects and all. At some point, we got to take care of what's already here and the systems that we already have and bring them up to capacity that's needed.
And Caroline Martino from Pine Ridge, water is a concern for us. Don't get that wrong, because most of Pine Ridge is still on, over 400 houses are still on well water. And that's not going to change anytime soon. So we are concerned about the wells that we drill into.
We draw water from Pine County, the central utility, and they go through a totally different aquifer from the water system we draw from in Pine Ridge. It's going to have no impact on the water.
It looks like the crowd's diminishing. Ma'am, you haven't asked a question now.
Yeah, my name is Tam Schneider, and I have 2 homes, one in Northgate and one in Country Club in Naples. And I'm not familiar with the building codes, but is the building codes different in the Moorings Park, you know, the Moorings, the retirement center, than it is on this property we're talking about?
They may be somewhat different, but everybody lives under the Florida building code, ultimately. And
well, I understand you own the property, you have the right to do with it as you please, but the traffic, everybody would cover that. However, my piece of property at Country Club in Naples backs up to the new tall building in the Moorings. And anybody, it's a 5 or 6 stories, I'm not exactly sure. It's an obnoxious building. It's lit 24 hours a day. And I'm concerned that we're going to have the same thing with this. It literally glows. I mean, the light would probably come across the street to Northgate Village. And I'm wondering if that was a special assessment or agreement with the county, and is that something different than what would be here?
First of all, Moorings Park is within the city. I don't know if there are different building code requirements for senior housing versus non-senior housing as far as lighting goes. I don't know the answer to that, so I don't know why that building is, and I don't even know which building it is in Moorings Park. Is it?
It's the newest building. Now, the other buildings are not as obnoxious as this new one is, and I know that there was a code variation for that building, but it's an eyesore at night.
Any other questions, areas we haven't touched on? Yes, ma'am.
One quick question. Once you find out like what the net developable area for the residential component will be, and we kind of get a net density, can you think of a, like if they do apartment complexes, a similar development that we can look at and see, okay, this is what five-story apartment building of this luxury quality looks like?
We can try, but I'll just tell you.
In my mind, I'm thinking the Livingston and Golden Gate, the one that's in the southwest corner.
Is Orchid it, Run?
Yeah, is that what we're talking?
Well, those buildings, they have integrated parking and garages into those buildings. I don't think they're built over a level of parking per se. David, you all didn't directly do that project at Orchid Run, but you may know more about it than I do. But the county looks at gross densities. They don't look at net.
I understand that.
Because if they did that, any high rise in Pelican Bay, you know, 200 right. units
but
on
the effective
piece
feel
of
being in that community, I see the open space. There's to the north, there's a preserve area. It doesn't look like there's going to be a lot integrated throughout because you've already met your preserve areas in those two areas probably. So when I drive by that, is it going to feel like wall of building, dense, no open space, 5 stories high? That's what I want to know.
Okay. And that's a little different to me than the density question because
well,
you know,
I'm
the density
for
is a
net.
Math equation.
That I'm asking for net density.
I can make a 6-unit per acre project look really horrible or I can make it look really great.
Right, but I'm saying on what you're going to develop the apartment on, it's going to be basically separate entities. What's the density?
I don't know that we have an answer for it.
I would tell you if I don't have the exact acreage of those two parcels right now, so I'm going to have to go to
okay.
that. I know your
yeah,
question.
Yeah.
I just don't
okay.
know. I don't know.
Anybody else? No? Okay. Then I'm going to adjourn the meeting. I look forward to seeing anybody who wants to at the Planning Commission and board.